Certainly a blessing and privilege to be here again with you this morning. And if you have your Bibles and want to turn with me, we'll be in Isaiah chapter 9. And what a wonderful blessing to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm thankful that we come under the wonderful truths that Brother David has already spoken of. We come in the name of the King and Kings, of Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful blessing to know in these times of darkness, we have a light that came into the world to shine in the darkness. And honestly, I can't think of a better subject this morning to speak on than the light coming into the darkness. So if you have your Bibles, we'll be in Isaiah chapter 9. We'll read down to verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. Verse 2, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Verse 5 says, for every battle of the warrior is confused with noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And finally, verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. What a wonderful blessing. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. Perhaps the latter part of this passage is most familiar as we go into the Christmas season, as we ponder the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And many of us are familiar with what we've read in verses 6 and verse 7. And I want us to think a little bit in the earlier verses, especially around verses 1 and 2. And as we ponder the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we ponder the Messiah, I want us to be mindful this morning as God's people that he was a great light that was born into a dark world. And again, I can't think of a more appropriate topic this morning in 2020 as we contemplate all of the challenges that we've had this year, all of the dark times, all of the struggles, all of the trials, and all of the difficulties. I can't think of a greater message than to be reminded that the great light came into the dark world, and the great light even shines today. And now as we go to Isaiah chapter 9, I want us to look at a little bit of the historical context this morning. And I want you to understand that the nation of Israel had been in a dark time for many years when the prophet was inspired by God to speak these verses of Scripture. It was a dark time. We're going to look in just a little bit and we're going to see that wickedness abounded on every side of the nation of Israel. Especially you have the wickedness of Israel proper during that time. We're going to see what they were engaged in. But even Judah during this time had turned far away from God, and their actions were not pleasing unto God. It was a dark time. But the prophet reminds them of the great light that shines through the darkness. And the message this morning for us as God's people is, the good news is, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he was born to be a light in the midst of great darkness. And that's the wonderful blessing. That's the good news, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's the light that illuminates and dispels the darkness. And in fact, in John chapter 1, we read of that as we read the Gospel of John that speaks of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In John chapter 1, it starts out by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then in verse 4, it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then it said, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." He is the light of the world. And I like when it says here that the darkness does not comprehend it. This does not merely mean that the darkness is confused by the light, but this literally means that the darkness does not have the ability to pull this light into itself. It seems like in the dark world that we live in today, it seems on occasion to just pull everything in it. But Jesus Christ is the light that the darkness does not have the ability to reach out and grab and pull it into himself. It is impossible for darkness to shut out the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the light that we're blessed to enjoy as God's people today. So I want us to look at the Word of God. I want us to go back to the book of Isaiah this morning for a few minutes, and I want us to see the wonderful blessing of the Messiah and how the Messiah is the light in the darkest of situations. Now, going back to what we read in Isaiah chapter 9, what we have going on now in the land of Judah was a dire time. And have you ever had a circumstance in your life where it seems like it was just the darkest of dark times? Well, this was going on in the nation, God's chosen nation. This was a dark, wicked situation that Judah and Israel found themselves in. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9, the king that was ruling Judah during this time was a king named Ahaz. Now, he's not Ahab. Ahab was a king in Israel. He's the one that married Jezebel. This is Ahaz. Ahaz had his own problems. He was the father of King Hezekiah that God blessed in an amazing way. But Ahaz was the king of Judah during the time of Isaiah chapter 9. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 7, you'll see that Israel was engaged in a civil war. And it was an incredible war with great loss, great bloodshed. It was a terrible time. In Isaiah chapter 7, you read of the king of Israel. His name was Pekah. And he went in league with Syria. He went in league with Rezin. And they combined their armies and they went and invaded the lands of Judah. Now, you think about this and you just think about it along those lines, you may not think that, well, there's not a lot to this. But then you go back in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and you find out what happened during this time. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, it says this. It says, "For Pekah," verse 6, "For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day," it says, "which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers." So we have Israel invading the land of Judah, and it says this, "In one day, 120,000 were slain." That's incredible to think about. We just remember Pearl Harbor just several days ago, and I think at Pearl Harbor there were around 3,000 that lost their lives on that day. On September the 11th, there were around 3,000 individuals that lost their lives on that day. And those are indeed great tragedies. But here in one day in Judah, 120,000 individuals lost their lives in battle. Will you say that those were dark times? It goes on, and you read in verse 28 that this also happened. It says, "And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and also took away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria." These were dark times. Civil war, brother against brother, if you will. Great bloodshed, great loss of life, great loss of resources, a sad time. And then that's what we have in the context as we go to Isaiah chapter 9. This battle is still going on. And the invasion was not yet over. They were coming back to invade the land again. That was a dark situation, just to put it lightly. But in the midst of this darkness, and wait, the darkness is not over yet. In the midst of this darkness, Isaiah comes to Ahaz and says that the Lord is going to be with you. He's going to give you a sign. And you see in Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet says this to Ahaz and basically says to Ahaz, you ask the Lord for a sign and he'll give it to you. Did Ahaz do that? No, Ahaz did not do that. And he said, well, I don't want to tempt the Lord. But what you see is that that Ahaz does something far worse. But in Isaiah chapter 7, we have another prophetic statement that was spoken during this time. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says this. It says, but therefore the Lord shall give, Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And butter and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good. The Bible says, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Lord says, God says through the mouth of the prophet, in spite of the wickedness that's going on, I'm going to deliver, I'm going to bless. Now we know that the long-term prophecy here is the coming of our Messiah, but the Lord says he's going to deliver his people during that time. Well, does that convince King Ahaz? No, we see he doesn't listen, and he goes and turns to another neighbor for support. He turns to the Assyrians. He turns to the enemy and makes a league with the enemy. Now, Israel proper, had already made a league with the enemy to come and invade the land. Now, Ahaz is going to make a league here with the Assyrians, and it doesn't go well. they were almost like the mafia. Once they came in, they stayed, and there were all kinds of disasters. He turns to the enemy. But in the midst of that, we have this the promise that God is going to bless in spite of the intents of men. And that's what we have in the context of Isaiah chapter 9. And here's the wonderful blessing as we think about the dark times that we endure. The dark times that we've endured in this world, that we endure our lives, that the grace of God far excels, is far greater than the darknesses of our lives. Aren't you thankful that God sent his only Son to bring light in the midst of great darkness? And we see, you see varying types of darkness in what we've read in Isaiah chapter 9. You see gloom, you see despair, you see the word anguish is used there. When you think about anguish, that's a suffocating thing to go through. We see those that are walking in darkness. That walking in darkness means that there's an absence of light. And even in Isaiah chapter 9, we read about a land of the shadow of death. I'm thankful that in the midst of all of the darknesses of this world, our Messiah, he comes and brings light. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? It was a mess in Israel during this time. It was the darkest of times. But we see here that God is faithful. Well, what happens and what does Ahaz do in the midst of all of that? Does he all of a sudden trust in God? No, he turns to the occult. If it's not bad, you know, God shines his light in the darkest of times, but even in the darkest of hearts, the light of our God, our light of our Lord, far exceeds. He turns to the occult, is what we read in Isaiah chapter 8. He didn't want to ask God for a sign, but he turns to the mystics of his day. He turns to the witches of his day. It's what it says in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. There's rebuke because of this. It says this, it says, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead. He was consulting with the dead to try to get answers to the problems that was going on in the nation during that time. He was a dyed-in-the-wool pluralist, if you will. I don't think he disavowed God, but he was looking for some advice and some other avenues. And I think that we get ourselves in trouble today when we do the same thing in the darkest of times. We live in a time where many have a pluralistic worldview. Well, I believe in God, but I think there's something else that I've got to do to add to it. I've got to seek some advice somewhere else. You know, let me consult with my horoscope. Let me go and have somebody read my palm. Let me go and get some advice from this New Age guru, this New Age sage. No, my friends, we see that didn't work out well for Ahaz, and it won't work out well for us. You know, really, we don't need to really be concerned with what the dead have to say. I'm not really concerned about that. And that's what the occult is. You know, looking for advice, looking for guidance from dead things. My friends, we need to be looking to the one who died and rose again for our guidance and for our counsel. And through the mouth of the prophet, God says to Ahaz during that time, he says, this is where you're to turn. He says in verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. He says, you've got the light that's going to deliver you. You've got the light that's going to fight your battle. Don't look for the darkness. Don't look towards those that are not acting and living according to God's word, according to Scripture. He says, in those there's no light. You know, we don't need to be concerned with what our horoscope says. We don't need to be concerned with whatever sage of the age or the sage of the day has to say. We have God's word. And we have the light that can illuminate the darkest of times and the darkest of lives. Eternally speaking, that's the blessing that we enjoy. Because apart from the Spirit of God, we were in darkness. He says here that you're to look to the law and to the testimony of the one that is the light. And aren't you thankful? That's the wonderful blessing that we enjoy as God's people. And I'm thankful to say this morning as well that we serve a God that's able to bless and illuminate in the darkest of places. You just think about darkness. There's all kinds of avenues that we can look at. The darkness that's in our world. A world that that makes a mockery of the Creator. A world that makes a mockery of His commandments and His statutes. You know, we can look at it in the general sense, but even within our own lives, the darkness that we struggle with, the darkness of this sinful flesh that we deal with. I'm thankful for the child of God. The light of Jesus Christ is able to illuminate the darkness that we struggle with as God's people today. What are your struggles this morning? So many people have, we all have struggles. You know, you think about those that struggle with substance abuse addiction. The light of our Lord is able to shine a light in those dark places. By His grace, you can overcome. Those that are suffering darkness personally, darkness in their families, that, you know, Satan has turned your household and your families inside outwards. The light of the Lord is able to shine in those places. If you're gripped with addiction, if you're gripped with hatred and bitterness, the light of our Lord is able to shine. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 9 for just a minute. And this is an unusual verse of Scripture, but I think it speaks to how the light of our Lord shines. It says in verse 1, going back to Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations." Well, what was the prophet speaking here during this time? He was talking about some lands that had suffered the judgment of God. He was talking about lands that had suffered great affliction. Great darkness had been upon those lands. But what we have in reference here, we have a wonderful reference here again to the coming of the light of the world. Now, God allowed judgment to come to these lands. The land of Zebulun suffered the judgment of God. The land of Naphtali suffered the judgment of God. And then he talks about, just historically speaking, he says here, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea. It says beyond Jordan. This is a geographical reference. And in these lands, there was a road that went down into these lands where judgment came on more than one occasion. You know, the enemies came into these lands and tormented and troubled these lands. And historically speaking, if I remember my history correctly, even Napoleon used this same geographical route as he conquered the known world during that time. This was a land that had suffered judgment. They had been invaded from the north. This was the land where the Canaanites had run roughshod on many an occasion. But he's speaking here of a wonderful light that's even going to shine in these places, even the darkest of places. Well, what was he referring to? I think it goes back to, again, the birth of our Savior. Where was Jesus from? Jesus of Nazareth. And this is interesting if you want to go home and look at your map. Where is Nazareth? Nazareth is in that region, in that area of Zebulun. And you'll remember the question was asked during the time of the Lord, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Why was that? Well, that was a land that had suffered greatly and had seen the judgment of God, had seen enemy after enemy come in there. But here it is, we have Jesus of Nazareth. This was the place of his nativity. And you talk about light shining in a dark place. The Messiah was from Nazareth. And then later on, as you go on in the life of Jesus, where did his base of operations, as he started his public ministry, where was it? Well, it was in a place called Capernaum. In Mark chapter 2, it says, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it says, it was noise that he was in the house. Well, where is Capernaum? Well, that's in the region of Naphtali. The light was in these places physically, and the land that had suffered, the land of vexation was the place where the Redeemer called home, where the Redeemer held from, and what a wonderful blessing. He was indeed the light in a dark place. But it goes on in Isaiah chapter 9 and says this. Again, it says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea. It says, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. Aren't you thankful? Not only was Jesus Christ a light in Zebulun and Naphtali, in Nazareth and Capernaum, he was a light to all nations. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? And the light first comes to these places. Basically, these places were the Hickville of Jerusalem during that time. You know, again, Nazareth was looked upon as just a lowly place, a place where the rednecks come from. This is the place where the ne'er-do-wells come from. And here, Jesus first comes from these places. This was the place that the nations despised, but that's where the Messiah came from. And that a wonderful blessing. The light of the world came to those that were the most despised. He came first to them. And I want to say this morning, that is the only hope that I have. And I don't think it's an accident what we read here in Isaiah chapter 9 when it says, beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Did Jesus Christ come just to save those that were of a Jewish ancestry? Did he just come to save those that were in and around Jerusalem? No, he came to save his people from all nations. He is that light that shines in the darkest of places. And we see that prophecy fulfilled. He comes into this land that was the most despised land, and he's the light of that land. I want to tell you, he came to all nations, and he's the light to all of those that were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. What a wonderful blessing. He came to be a light to those that are the most despised. He came beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. Aren't you thankful? He just didn't come for the Jews, but He came for His people. That's a wonderful blessing to think about, isn't it? The light came into the darkness. Oh, I think of what Jesus said in John chapter 8. We read what in John chapter 1 and verse 4, Him being the life and the light. He says this of Himself in John chapter 8 when He was speaking. Now, this was the occasion where the woman had been caught in the act of adultery, and they brought her before Jesus, and they were trying to trip Him up and catch Him in His own words. And we see that He made that statement, "Let he who be without sin cast the first stone at her." And in the context of that, He reminds us that was a dark situation, wasn't it? You know, you had those legalists of Jesus' day that were trying to entrap Him in this word, in His words, and they had this woman. They brought her before Him, and it was in the midst of that dark time the light shines. And we remember what happened on that occasion. All of them that had their rocks, they just dropped their rocks and they went away. And on that occasion, Jesus says this, verse 12 of John chapter 8. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want to tell you, my friends, that's not an invitation, but that is a declarative statement of who Jesus Christ is. He says, I am the light of the world. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? And in the time of Isaiah, a brother against brother, a wicked nation of Israel during this time, in league with another wicked nation, the land of Judah in league, just doing everything they can to dishonor God in their actions, not seeking after God, who's already said that He's going to bless them, but seeking advice from the occult. If our God is able to bless in those occasions, in spite of ourselves, in spite of their actions, he's certainly able to bless us today as His people, is He not? And I want to say, eternally speaking, I'm thankful that He's blessed us. That's the greatest light that we can ponder today, that He has saved us in spite of ourselves. Because I want you to understand, apart from the Spirit of God in our lives, we are all darkness. Our hearts, the Bible says, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That means our hearts are dark apart from the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. But I'm thankful that light of the Spirit of God has penetrated that darkness. And understand, my friends, that the battle between light and darkness, eternally speaking, it's not up for debate who's going to win. It's not like Star Wars. We don't know who's going to win. We know who wins. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. It can't overtake the light. It can't grab it. And for the work of eternal salvation, God, and his according to His sovereign will, has shined the light in the hearts of His people. He's given us a new life. He's given us a new nature. And I want you to understand, when we understand that, we can engage in battle in the dark times that we have in our lives that we have to endure on a day-to-day basis. There's still darkness that we have to deal with. Yeah. You know, the poet wrote of the dark night of the soul. You ever have those dark nights of the soul where you're going through struggles and trials, and it feels like that God has just clean left you? That you can't find joy and peace in anything at all? My friends, we serve the God that's able to shine a light in those dark times. So 2020, maybe it's been a year of blessing for you, but maybe for some of you it's been a year of trials and disappointments and tribulations and darkness. If it is, I want you to understand that we have a great light that dwells with us. Again, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. That is the God that we serve. Well, what happened during the time of Isaiah? Well, God delivered them in spite of themselves. nation against nation, wicked king in league with other wicked kings. In spite of that all, God delivers. And after the time of Ahaz, we have the time of Hezekiah, where God gave them a reprieve and God blessed them. And it wasn't because of anything that they deserved. They deserved the judgment of God because of their lack of faith, because of the poor decisions that they had made. But God was merciful unto them. Aren't you thankful that God is merciful to us today? In spite of ourselves, God blesses us. I hope as we finish out this year and we go into the new year that we would be more diligent in serving God. But at the very best, we still fall short. But we have that great light. We dwell in the land of the shadow of death, but we have the light that we can turn to, that light that strengthens us, that light that shines in dark times. We can be encouraged in the midst of the greatest of difficulties because the one who was born of the Virgin, the one that was born into this world, he did what we were unable to do, and that was to fulfill the righteous law of God. We have a wonderful light that is indeed named wonderful. That's the Counselor. That's the Mighty God. That's the Everlasting Father. That's the Prince of Peace. We have the light that, whether we realize it or not, He is in charge. He's the one that is the governor over all governors. Lord willing, this Wednesday we're going to speak about Jesus Christ as King. But He's the one that the government is indeed upon His shoulder. And I'm thankful to know that of the increase of His government and His peace, there shall be no end. He's the light that's going to bring righteous judgment. He's the light that's going to bring justice someday. You know, in this dark world, sometimes we don't see justice fulfilled. We see that in many cases. We see things that are unresolved. We see things that are unfair. But our light, our Lord, He's going to come back someday and He's going to make all things right. Even if 2021 is worse than 2020, we can hang our hats on the hope that our light is going to return some sweet day and He's going to make all things right. You know, He's the light. He's going to be that light that shines in a dark place when He comes back here. Not to establish some earthly kingdom, but to call His people home. What a wonderful God we serve. I'm thankful that the light came into this world. I'm thankful that He was born of the Virgin Mary. I'm thankful that He came and He paid our sin debt. And someday He's coming back to take us home. May the Lord add His blessing.
Okay, Brother John Anthony, if you would please gather us a hymn, an appropriate hymn, come lead for us. Here at McClenny Church, we are about the doctrine of salvation by grace. And that means that man's extremities are God's opportunities. We don't put the ox in the ditch to get him out. Paul said, not as is slanderously reported, let us do evil that good may come. We don't go out and sin so we can give God an opportunity to extend grace. But our extremities are God's opportunities. I like the word nevertheless. For one reason, you get three words in at one time. People are always getting on me. You say so many words. And you say big words. I like, you get three for one in nevertheless. Nevertheless. I use it a lot, especially in my writing. It's an old word. People don't use it much anymore, but it's a good word, Brother Doug. Nevertheless. When I use nevertheless, it is never in a good context. Good things are not going to follow, Brother G. They're not. I always use it this way when I'm communicating professionally. The dam has broken. Nevertheless, we're going to do the best we can. That's it. The power's out. The internet's down. Nobody came to work today. Nevertheless, we're going to try to educate children. We're going to nothing usually good follows when I use nevertheless. But it's not that way with God. Nevertheless is a word of grace. Nevertheless. When nevertheless pokes its head up in God's word, pay attention. Pay attention. In chapter 8, things were falling apart into pieces. And then God says in chapter 9, nevertheless. My life was falling apart and in pieces. Nevertheless, God's grace came on the scene. Jesus' dear friend Lazarus in Luke chapter 11 had died. Is there a more extreme circumstance than that, than death? Can any of you do anything with death? Jesus said, our friend Lazarus is dead. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Well, what can you do when you get there? I'm the God of all grace. I'm light and I'm life. And I don't care that death has been there. Nevertheless, when I get there, life is coming. Amen. Nevertheless. And then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your extremities are. Nevertheless, Christ is on his throne. You think about your own experience in life, your own faith. Does your faith ever get weak? My belief gets weak at sometimes. I'm ashamed to admit that to you all. I'm your pastor, but I'm a human being. And sometimes my faith gets weak. Sometimes it's things that I hear and that I take in. That's why I want you all to hear good things. I tell my wife that all the time on television. I want things that are just pure lovely. Because bad things affect the way I think and the way you think. And so Paul warns us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and he said this, avoid profane and vain babblings, empty statements, things that aren't true. Avoid them, he said. They'll increase, listen to this, they'll increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a cancer or a canker. When you listen to bad things, it's like taking cancer in you, and it's going to eat away at your faith and belief. When you listen to bad things, their words will lead us doth a canker, of whom, and he points out two men who said bad things. He said, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth, they're teaching that the resurrection is past already. And you want to talk about something that'll take belief out of you? Start listening to somebody that's saying the resurrection's already gone. Don't listen to things that aren't good and healthy and wholesome. Their word will lead us doth a canker. And he said, Hymenaeus and Philetus, listen to this, they have overthrown the faith of some. Now, they didn't overthrow their eternal life. You can't get that overthrown. Amen? Once you got eternal life, you got eternal life. But you can have your belief, your confidence in God overthrown by the things that you're listening to and taking in. And then he lets us know, even if our faith in Christ were shaken, our belief in him were shaken. Listen to this. Nevertheless, that's good, isn't it? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. There may be some days where you don't know whether you're his or not, but God always knows that you're his. And that's what makes the difference. I may lose sight sometimes, and I wonder, I wouldn't think like I think if I'm a child of God. You ever feel that way? I wouldn't have the thoughts I have if I was a child of God. And Satan will cause doubt to creep in your mind. Nevertheless, the dimness, I love what Isaiah said. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be. Christ is light. And let me tell you, once Christ appeared as the light of this world, all of the gainsayers and liars can say that it ain't so, but they can't do away with the presence of the light of Christ in this universe any more than a madman can do away with the light of the sun by writing darkness on his cell wall. No matter how many times he writes darkness, the sun is still shining, right? It doesn't matter how many times Satan says darkness, the S-O-N is still shining. Nevertheless, you remember that this week. As you celebrate Christmas, you stop and make your family hear about nevertheless. Please do, on Christmas, remind each other. It's about him. It's about him and what he did. And things are tough. They are. Think about Brother Ted and his whole family contracting that horrible virus. Nevertheless, the Lord was with them, wasn't he? Nevertheless, God's with us. strength, hope, encouragement, friends. God is with us. We have the birth of Christ to prove it. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you so much for your sweet message this morning. And we go forward on the strength of that. All right, son, give us the song or I won't be quiet.
Number 274.
Sing me down. What is it?
Mercy seat.
That's a good one. Come on down if you would. Mercy seat. Thank you. Do you mind if I stand here with you and sing? I don't know when I'll get to again.
Hopefully so.
From every stormy wind.